Well, it's also bitterly cold elsewhere in the world, but in Ukraine, frigid temperatures aren't deterring protesters from continuing their demonstrations, even though temperatures there are hovering around 14 degrees in the capital of Kiev. Protesters are demanding that President Viktor Yanukovych dissolve the government and repeal new anti-protest laws that restrict free speech. Opposition leaders are now waiting to see if Parliament meets their demands in tomorrow's special session that they're calling Judgment Day. Unrest first broke out in November after President Yanukovych scrapped plans to strengthen ties with the European Union and instead sought more support from Russia. The BBC's David Stern joins us from Kiev. And David, what's the latest?
Well, most recently, activists from a group called Right Force occupied the Justice Ministry. They did this overnight, which took many people by surprise to how quickly and easily they could do that. But it enraged the justice minister herself, and she issued a warning. She said if they did not evacuate the building, then she would discuss with the president and other officials introducing a state of emergency. Now, she's not the responsible person for that. She's not able to introduce a state of emergency, but she could get the ball rolling on the square. People said that they would be there anyway. But since then, they've evacuated. They've pulled out. And the state of emergency threat has gone away. Having said that, though, it is still extremely tense in Ukraine and in Kiev in particular. Activists are still occupying the central square. They're still facing off against riot police, sort of across the front line, but they're not actually fighting. And activists have occupied or besieged a number of government buildings throughout the country.
A rather bold move there by the protesters. But David, I wonder, last week, President Yanukovych appeared to extend a sort of olive branch to protesters. He offered to release some protesters who had been jailed and to make changes to the strict new anti-protesting law that had been passed. He also offered the prime minister's post to an opposition leader. Why haven't any of those things helped diffuse tensions?
Yes, you're absolutely right. He offered the prime minister post to Arseniy Yatsenyuk, one of the three opposition leaders, and also another government post, top government post, to Vitaly Klitschko, the boxer turned politician and opposition leader. That hasn't reduced the tensions for a couple of reasons. First of all, the opposition leaders, and more importantly, the people in the square, don't trust Mr. Yanukovych. They say these are nice words, but he has to show us that he's serious. The people in the square and activists throughout Ukraine don't want to see the opposition leaders talking to Mr. Yanukovych at all. They want Mr. Yanukovych to resign immediately, and they consider it futile to be negotiating with the government. They see this just as a stalling tactic. The opposition leaders are trying to, I guess you could say, they're playing a wait-and-see game, and they also think that they have the upper hand. If Mr. Yanukovych is offering these things, and he hasn't offered them before, he was in fact categorical about not offering them, then it shows a sign of weakness, they think. So they have said that tomorrow, on Tuesday, when the parliament meets, the parliament is supposed to discuss a number of these concessions, changing the constitution, revoking in part or entirely a packet of laws that crack down on free speech and protest here, and other things. If that does go through, then the opposition says maybe we'll consider some of the other things.
Maybe. But I guess I'm wondering if President Yanukovych has made no overtures to even beginning to think about their primary demand, which is his resignation. I mean, could Parliament really do anything to satisfy opposition leaders?
You ask a good question. They seem to be playing a game or fighting a war of nerves and attrition. Yes, Parliament could do something. One would expect that Parliament would satisfy some of the demands, but not all of the demands. That seems to be the way this has been played so far. And if they do pass the changes in the Constitution, that could move up the presidential elections by a number of months into this year. That is potentially very difficult for Mr. Yanukovych, and one wonders if he would really be willing to do that.
Now, David, we must note that the protests have turned violent. At least three people were killed in clashes with police last week, and protests have spread into the eastern parts of the country. Do you think that in the coming days and weeks that they could possibly spread even further around Ukraine?
Yes, it's entirely possible. And this is a very important point to bring up, is that this has, within the last week or so, been escalating. There have been a number of very violent clashes between riot police and protesters. And the protesters are both frustrated because they've been out in the bitter cold on the streets of Kiev and other cities for 2 months now. Their anger is rising. Their anger is rising at the government, but their anger is rising at also their own leaders. And this is also a part of the equation, that the longer this goes on, the more volatile, and it's already very volatile, but the even more volatile it becomes.
And finally, David, if I may ask, how are representatives from the European Union and Russia responding to all this? Because these protests, in part, began with a dispute over whether or not Ukraine should move closer to Europe or Russia.
That's right. Let's start with the European Union. They are trying to both engage Ukraine and also perhaps help the Ukrainian government and the opposition find a peaceful way out of this. They have said that the door is still open, provided that the Ukrainians are ready to talk to us seriously. As for the Russians, they are also engaged, interested, for the most part, making threatening noises or warnings towards the European Union and the West for interfering in Ukraine's internal affairs. And at the same time, of course, we know that Russia, previous to this, made life very difficult for Ukraine when it was considering signing the EU agreement. It closed its borders to Ukrainian exports, or made it very difficult for the Ukrainians to send their goods to Russia, which had a huge effect on the Ukrainian economy and was one of the reasons why the Ukrainians actually changed their minds.
The BBC's David Stern speaking to us from Kiev. David, thank you.
Thank you.